البيان راديو presents the following lesson from مسجد الأزهر بأمه.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His help, His assistance and guidance in all things. He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is no misguidance for him. And he whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, there is no guidance for him except through the will and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was the final messenger and prophet sent to all of mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. Do not die except that you are Muslims. Amma ba'd. I wanted to first and foremost, before the beginning of this lesson, I wanted to take a moment to thank the brothers, the beautiful brothers at the Rabta, بالذات in this masjid, Masjid Al-Azhar, our beautiful brother Nidal, Jazallah Khair, who we spoke to and made this class happen. His hirs for this masjid and the community is something that we should all try to achieve. Just before we start, a brief overview over this class, inshallah, how this class will happen. It will be every Monday night, inshallah, till we finish the book, bi'idhnillahi tabarak wa ta'ala. And this lesson, inshallah, after we finish this muqaddimah, we'll go through a short biography of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullahu tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then from next week, inshallah, we'll start with the book. I don't want to take too long with this muqaddimah of the life of Imam An-Nawawi. But this is how the Salaf usually started their books and usually started their lesson, that whenever they would start a book, you'd have to know who the author of that book is. And then onwards, we will start, bi'idhnillah, after next week's class, we will start with the actual Arba'een. We'll start with the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. Inshallah, the plan is that this is supposed to be a short explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So I don't want to, this book, subhanallah, is a book that is mubarak. You will find some books in English, mathalan, Zarabozo, has explained this book in 3 volumes, 40 hadith, Subhan al-Khaliq. In Arabic, there are many, many explanations on this. So as much detail as you want to go into, you can find it. You can literally stop at every single word in this book and have lessons on it. But we just want to get the understanding of the hadith and how to implement the hadith in our daily lives. Because the hadith that are chosen, inshallah, we'll speak about it next week, are a hadith that are jami'ah, that cover the whole deen in its essence, the 40 hadith that's in this book. So inshallah, the plan is that not one hadith, inshallah, will go over 2 lessons, bi'idhnillah. The longer a hadith that need longer explanations, inshallah, will cover it in 2 lessons, and hopefully each dars, bi'idhnillah, won't go over 40 minutes, bi'idhnillah. A tanbih, just a notice that inshallah the aim is to finish this book. It's we have started this. It's an amana that we have started this book, and inshallah we aim to finish it. يعني مهما كان, whatever the dharf is, whatever the reason is, inshallah if we're able to, we will be here with you bi idhnillah, and hopefully even with Ramadan coming closer, we'll either have to change the time or we'll do something, but the class will go on bi idhnillah tabarak wa ta'ala. Another thing that just came to my attention recently, subhanAllah, is that there are other lessons on Monday from Mashayikh. And I really just would like to stress to each and every one of you, whoever is able to go and attend the lessons of the Mashayikh, do so. يعني me as a طالب علم, I'm not a sheikh. Me as a طالب علم, as just a humble student of knowledge, if that, you won't be getting more from me than you'd be getting with the mashayikh. And we have some senior mashayikh from even the Rabta, outside of the Rabta, but we have majzakallah khair, barakallahu fiik habibi. We have يعني classes that are going, so if you can benefit from the mashayikh, the senior mashayikh. And if you don't have anything else and you can't attend those lessons and you can only come here, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba, and inshallah we will benefit from each other bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. I don't want to take too long. I want to just start bi-idhnillah with the biography of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu rahmatan wasi'a. Imam al-Nawawi, will start off with his name. His full name, yani the long name that we find in the books, is Abu Zakariya يحيى بن شرف ابن مراء أو مري كما قال السخاوي رحمه الله ابن حسن ابن حسين ابن محمد ابن جمعة ابن حزام الحازمي النووي. That's the long name. That's the يعني his, how his name is found in the classical books. But يعني how a lot of people just يعني shorten it, because that's a lot of names to remember. أبو زكريا يحيى بن شرف النووي. أبو زكريا يحيى ابن شرف النووي. الحازمي نسبته إلى جده الحزام. So the, why is he called الحازمي, الحزامي عفوا, is that his great grandfather, the seventh grandfather, his name was حزام. It's not an attribution to any of the Sahaba. This is just his grandfather that they, the family, attributed themselves to. النووي is a nisbah, an attribution to a place called Nawa. And it's, يعني you can say النووي and you can say النواوي with an alif between the vowels. Nawa, this place that he was from, rahimahullah, is part of the greater Syrian area, the Levant area, close to the Golan area. So Imam al-Nawawi is also attributed to Damascus, Dimashq, Dimashqi. Why? It's because he spent, subhanAllah, over 28 years in Damascus. And as يعني, the Salaf, like Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a, one of the greatest Salaf of this Ummah, stated, من أقام في بلدة أربع سنين نسب إليها. That whoever takes residence in a land for 4 years, he is attributed to it. So not only was he attributed to Noah and Nawawi, he was also attributed to Damascus, al-Dimishqi. When was the Imam born, rahimahullah? He was born in Muharram in the year 631 after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was his early life like? يعني his young age, what was it like? يعني Yasin ibn Yusuf, a sheikh at that time, al-Miraqshi, he states that he had seen Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah when he was young, at an age of 10. So when Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah was 10, Yasin ibn Yusuf, the sheikh, seen him in Nawa, the place where he was born. He states that the children around Imam al-Nawawi would force him to go and play. يعني take him away from his dars and force him to play. And Imam al-Nawawi at that time, at the age of 10, what he would do was that he would begin to cry and he would run away from them because of their persistence in them trying to get him to play at that young age, subhanal khaliq. And this sheikh, Yasin ibn Yusuf, he says that in that state of him crying, he would go into the place where he would study and he would read Quran. So when the sheikh Yasin ibn Yusuf, يعني when he seen this, love entered into his heart for this young boy, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. And Imam al-Nawawi, his father, Sharaf, was a person who was in buying and selling, a merchant in fruits. He had a special place made for Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah at that age in the actual dukkan that he was bartering in, he was selling in. And he had a certain section where no one would disturb Imam al-Nawawi, and he had a teacher there for him to teach him Quran. And in that certain section, This Yasin ibn Yusuf, he goes on and he says that I went to the teacher that was teaching Imam al-Nawawi. And he said to his teacher that it is hoped that this young boy will become the most knowledgeable person of his time. And he will be as haduhum, someone with great zuhd, someone with no dunya in his heart. And a person that the people will benefit from. So what happened was that Imam al-Nawawi's father, Sharaf, when he heard this, he took it on board. It affected him. And what happened was that he made sure that he didn't keep him busy with anything other than the Qur'an. He didn't make him help him around the store. He would make sure that he would only be focusing on his durus. Until he became a hafiz, when he memorized the entire Qur'an. Imam al-Nawawi himself, he states that at the age of 19, his father took him to Damascus, Dimashq, and he stayed at a place called Madrasa al-Rawahiyya, a place in Damascus where it was for the students of knowledge. He stayed there for 2 years under the tutelage of one of his great main teachers, Abi Ibrahim Ishaq al-Shafi'i, rahimahumullah rahmatan wasi'ah. 2 years after that, at the age of 21, Imam al-Nawawi and his father took on the pilgrimage, the Hajj. And his father, Sharaf, says that when they returned back to Nawa and they took residence in Damascus, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poured on the heart of Imam al-Nawawi knowledge after the Hajj that they had just done. And it is mentioned that the Hajj that they took, that on the Waqfa, on Yawm Arafah, it was on a Friday, which يعني, they say was the same day that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on Arafah, and that this is one of the best signs of Yawm Arafah being more blessed than a normal Arafah. So the dua that he made, some people say that it was from this, that when he returned, he became different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in his ilm. It is said that Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, didn't used to waste time in this age, neither in the day nor in the night. He would constantly be busying himself with knowledge. He would even take the times, subhanallah, of travel. He'd take the times of travel to revise his ilm. Subhanallah, yani, this is how the men of the previous generations, yani, Imam Nawawi was 600 Hijri, yani, 600 years after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is the mindset that they had, that even the smallest amount of times that they had that was free, they would utilize it. They wouldn't just let it go in vain. They maximized their time. How many of us, subhanAllah, yani we find ourselves in cars, we yani to and from work on a daily, and we find ourselves that, subhanAllah, we may spend sometimes without even really realizing it, up to an hour in the car just going and coming from work. Yani sometimes we have an hour space where we're just literally doing nothing, and in that hour we don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even one time. And this is something that we really have to rethink, that yani the barakah that comes from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, especially the times that we're free. We don't only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of hardship, we remember Him in times of ease as well. And this is the greatest type of sabr. Sometimes we have the wrong idea that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that about dhikr, we think that it will take up too much of our time. And we think that if we do dhikr, then we won't get to do the other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have to do for our families, and we think that doing this will take up time from other things. But it's the actual opposite, that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only bring about barakah in the life of a believer. There is a story of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi and his student Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahumullah, that says, Ibn al-Qayyim narrates a story, and he says that when one time he needed Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in the morning, and he went to go find him, and he knew he'd be in the masjid after the salah. And he seen Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah reclining against one of the walls. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam al-Nawawi didn't want to disturb him from the adab that a student has with his teacher, that when he sees him doing ibadah, he doesn't disturb him. He allows him to do his ibadah. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says that he stayed there waiting for the Imam until the Imam finished his adhkar, and seen Ibn al-Qayyim waiting for him. And he said, have you been waiting here for long? Have you been sitting here and you're waiting for me? Ibn al-Qayyim says, yes. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, he says, هَذَا غَدَائِي. This is my source of sustenance. This dhikr that I do is the source of my sustenance. He says that if I am not to take my sustenance, لَمْ أَسْتَطِعْ الْمَشِي. If I don't take my sustenance of this day, I won't be able to walk, not work. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, I won't be able to walk without this dhikr. And that's what the real essence of dhikr is. It gives nashat, it gives quwwa, it gives energy, it gives strength to the believer. And subhan al-Khaliq, on the flip side, there are people that subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the blessing of health, family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them everything that they would need. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty on his servant plenty. But shouldn't we be grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? Imam al-Sa'di rahmatullah alayhi, he says, أفضل أنواع الشكر الإكثار من ذكر الله. That the greatest and the best ways to show gratefulness is increasing of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you everything, you have to do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you are grateful, I will surely, توكيد, I will indeed increase you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who are of the shakirin, make us from those that are from the dhakirin, constantly remembering him and constantly being grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. I want to cover now just briefly, inshaAllah, I don't want to take too much of your time today, bi-idhnillahi tibarak wa ta'ala, the works of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahumullah, the books that he wrote and the books that we have today. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah had many, many, many works, subhanal khaliq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in this man's pen. Rahmatullahu rahmatan wasi'ah. From some of the main books that we have, that he wrote, probably the greatest in fa'idah, wallahu a'lam, the greatest in when you read it, the most benefit insha'Allah that you will get is Kitab al-Minhaj fi Sharh Sahih Muslim, which is a complete commentary on Sahih Muslim, which is regarded as the best commentary of Sahih Muslim. SubhanAllah, all the books of hadith, they have been explained by the imma. For instance, Sahih al-Bukhari has Fath al-Bari by Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayh. Sahih Muslim has al-Minhaj by Imam al-Nawawi. Abi Dawood has, for instance, Aun al-Ma'bud, something more recent, but there are books before that. Tirmidhi has Tuhfat al-Ahwadi. Muwatta has At-Tamheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept certain commentaries and shuruhat of these ahadith as the main books to go back to when you want to understand that hadith. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, one of the greatest blessings, that he gave him the blessing to be the commentator and the sharih of the second book after the Qur'an, in sense of the most authentic after Sahih al-Bukhari, after the Quran, Sahih al-Bukhari. Another book that inshallah you all have heard of is a book that is so widespread in the world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put so much qubool in this book, is the book of Riyadh al-Salihin. There's maybe not a single masjid in the world, Allahu a'lam, except that book is there. There's so many homes across the world that this book is in their libraries. Subhanallah, it's been translated in maybe all of the main languages of the world, and even some languages that you haven't even heard of. Subhanallah. And this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put, inshaAllah, qubool and barakah in this work. And it is of envy. We all hope that we all have something that we leave behind. Imam Nawawi now, it's over 800 years ago. And we're still today, 1,442 years after his death, we're reading books of his now. Subhanallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us barakah in whatever we do so that it remains a hujjah for us on the Day of Judgment. Another book that's famous of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah is Kitab al-Adhkar and other books that he's written that are, subhanAllah, so widespread with the students of knowledge. And it's very rare that a student of knowledge won't have these books in their library. Like, for instance, At-Tibyan fi Adab Hamlat al-Qur'an and Al-Majmu' fi Sharh al-Muhaddab, books in fiqh, books in adab. SubhanAllah, there's just so many works of this great Imam rahmatullah alayh. And Imam al-Nawawi, as we're going to come to it, he died very young, subhanAllah. He died at the age of 46. He didn't have the blessing of time in the sense where he didn't have a very long life. But he utilized his time and he left a turath of over, just now we have printed over 20 works that are massive, subhanAllah. Books that are really big books, tabarakAllah. And it just shows that however much time you have in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he puts barakah in whatever you do, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mazid, we ask him for barakah in all that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make you achieve so much that you won't even imagine it in your lifetimes. And he might give you barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, that after you pass away, the knowledge that you leave behind is something that is spread, and inshallah, a hujjah for us, for you on the Day of Judgment. What I want to just come to the end of, before we wrap it up, because I know this dars is a muqaddimah, you brothers were probably expecting to start the book straight away. It's enough of a disappointment you got stuck with me, Allah al-Musta'an. But inshallah, I don't want to take too much of your time. Inshallah, next week, bi'idhnillah, we'll start with the book. But the last thing I wanted to end with was the death of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullah alayh passed away on the night of Wednesday, in the last third of the night, in the month of Rajab, in the year 676 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Nawa, and he was buried shortly after. He was only, as we mentioned, 46 at the time of his death, subhanallah. There's a story that's written in the books that's based on manamat, dreams, that we can't be 100% sure of its authenticity or its validity, but it's a nice read, a nice story. It is said that after the death of Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, the family had gathered together and they agreed together to build a dome over the grave of Imam al-Nawawi. A dome, making it pretty much a shrine. And what happened was, as the story goes, that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah appeared to one of the elders in the family. It's said that it was his auntie, and he came in the dream and he told her in the dream that, say to my brother and my family, do not do what you have agreed to do, for anything that they will build will collapse on them. And she woke up paranoid and went to the rest of the family, and she informed them of the dream, and they agreed, khalas, that we're not going to build this dome on top of the Imam's body, rahmatullah alayh, and they refrained from it. But what we understand, subhanAllah, what we take from the life of Imam al-Nawawi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do something for his sake alone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in all that you do, even after you die. The turath that you live, even if you had just aimed to just do one thing, and this is a reminder for myself before any of the brothers and the sisters and the viewers at home, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, that subhanAllah, anything, if we had just sat from today to just do this one thing that we wanted to, for instance, leave behind ilm and farrigh ourselves, make ourselves completely free to write or to record or to do whatever we wanted to do, just to leave it for the next generation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you don't do it for his sake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give it any barakah. There were other books that were written at that time, other books of Al-Arba'in, for instance, many other books of the 40 hadith that were written. There were many other commentaries of Imam Muslim's Sahih Muslim. There were many other commentary books written on Adhkar. There were many other books written as Shuruhat in Fiqh, especially Shafi'i Madhab. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left for us very specific things. And we hope to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is a sign of the niyyah, that they only wanted to do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our niyyahs clean and for purely for the sake of Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to purify ourselves constantly, because the niyyah is subhanAllah one of the hardest things to keep in check. Because you might start strong, but in the middle it might go harder. You might start wrong, and then in the middle you can rectify it. But إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that verily the actions are judged upon what is on its ending. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us end whatever we do on a thabat and on steadfastness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in all that we do. The book that inshallah I've mentioned to our beautiful brother Nidal that we'll be reading from is this edition of Al-Arba'in Nawawi. It's very cheap inshallah. If anyone wants to purchase it, I think it's only $8. But why this one is favorable over, there's another print, a little bit more expensive, published in the UK. This one's published in Malaysia. Why I prefer this book is because from the translators, there's not any things that have been added in there. Whereas the other one, there is a few ta'liqat of people that weren't on the manhaj of, inshallah, salam wa afiyah. I didn't want to get into this, but the people that have different ideas. And they've put ta'liqat on it. But this, subhanAllah, is just the matin and a short explanation. And inshallah, if anyone keeps this in their library, they'll benefit from it, bi'idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. If someone wanted to, for anyone who speaks Arabic and they wanted to go into this, the shuruhat of Al-Arba'een, I highly recommend the sharh of Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, hafidhahullahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, of Al-Arba'een, and Imam An-Nawawi, Imam Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, has a beautiful sharh on Kitab Al-Arba'een as well. And hopefully from next week, bi-idhnillah, we'll start from the Muqaddimah, and the week after we'll start with the first hadith from Al-Arba'een. If you see that in the Muqaddimah, there are actually a hadith in there, but next week hopefully we'll get into an introduction on how this book was written. What was the asl of this book? Where did the idea come from the book? Who did he take off? Was this based on any other works? Right, so did he expand on someone else's work, for instance? So inshallah, that's the aim for next week, bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in all that we take, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in this class and to put barakah in all of your lives. And jazakumullah khair, wa sallallahu sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullah khair, and I'm sorry for taking too much of your time, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, next week we'll be starting from the book, so please have the book ready and hopefully a pen. So if there is any fawa'id, you guys can benefit from it. And jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.